because they already have a meeting. They already have a meeting this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the May 3rd, 2016 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Would you please stand with me while we recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Hope we don't have to meet alone, Dan.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stein has asked to be excused. Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present?
We have quorum. I would point out that there are emergency exits in the back of the room to my right and in the front of the room to my left. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. If you have cell phones or other electronic devices, we ask that you please silence them. That includes legislators. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices. I have two proclamations tonight. I have one about the airport. Dave McKenna is the chair of our Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, and he's also going to be our new appointee to the Air Services Board. Dave, could you come up while I read the proclamation? Whereas the County of Tompkins and State of New York has a significant interest in the continued vitality of general aviation, aircraft manufacturing, aviation educational institutions, aviation organizations, and community airports, and whereas general aviation and the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport have an immense economic benefit impact on the County of Tompkins, and whereas according to the New York Department of Transportation Aviation Bureau, there are 108 public-use general aviation airports in New York. The FAA reports that these airports support 16,267 pilots and 5,116 active general aviation aircraft. And whereas FAA data shows that New York is home to 118 repair stations, 11 FAA-approved pilot schools, 2,617 flight instructors, 4,108 student pilots. In addition, there are 75 fixed-based operators in the state, according to the Comprehensive Directory. According to Helicopter Association International, there are 587 heliports in New York. And whereas general aviation airports in New York account for 37,800 jobs and over $2.9 billion in labor income, and whereas general aviation not only supports New York's economy, it improves overall quality of life by supporting emergency medical and health care services, law enforcement, firefighting, and disaster relief, and by transporting business travelers to their destinations quickly and safely. And whereas the nation's aviation infrastructure represents an important public benefit, and congressional oversight should be in place to ensure stable funding of this system. Therefore, I, Michael Lane, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, hereby proclaim general aviation a vital strategic resource for the County of Tompkins and declare May 2016 as General Aviation Appreciation Month. And I've heretofore signed my name this May 3rd, 2016. Dave, thanks.
I'd like to thank the legislature on behalf of Mike Hall and the airport staff. And I guess that's really all I got to say because I'm pretty new at this.
Thank you, Dave. We have another nice proclamation tonight. I wondered if John Lewis, the Executive Director of Historic Ithaca, and Julie Johnson might come up to the podium while I read it. Whereas Historic Ithaca, Inc. was founded in 1966 after the demolition of the old City Hall and in the face of the rapid pace of Ithaca's urban renewal and impending demolitions, and whereas in 1984 Historic Ithaca was designated a rural preservation company by New York State to provide repair and maintenance advice to rural homeowners, rehabilitate houses in Dryden, and complete historic building surveys in Tompkins County. And whereas Historic Ithaca has a long history of encouraging barn preservation by assisting owners with advice, rescuing barns from demolition by relocating them for reuse, creating a countywide barn inventory, and sponsoring educational events. And whereas in 1991, Historic Ithaca established significant elements, an architectural parts warehouse, which promotes the reuse of windows, doors, and other building materials, thus playing a key role in helping the county reduce the waste stream. And whereas in 1992, when the Stone Arch Van Busker Gulf Road Bridge, built in 1818, faced demolition, Historic Ithaca brokered an agreement with the town of Newfield to help fund and restore the bridge. And whereas beginning in 1995, Historic Ithaca bought, rehabilitated, and demonstrated the viable reuse of a former 19th century church to become the West Dryden Community Center. And whereas beginning in 2000, Historic Ithaca worked with local advocates and state preservation leaders to save the 1873 Zenas King Bowstring Truss Bridge, galvanizing support from Tompkins County, the town of Newfield, and the state assembly representative for a rehabilitated pedestrian bridge, which opened in 2003. And whereas in 2000, Historic Ithaca championed saving the threatened 19th century Craddock Moore House, resulting in support from Cornell University and the town of Ithaca to move it off campus and return to residential use. And whereas the Historic Ithaca continues to promote the value of our historic buildings and communities as places that contribute to Tompkins County's cultural and economic vitality. Therefore, I, Michael Lane, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim May 3rd, 2016 as Historic Ithaca Day, and have signed this third day of May, 2016.
I just wanted to say thank you very much. We'll also be announcing this proclamation at our Preservation Awards ceremony on May 12th, 5:30 p.m. at La Terrell. You're all invited to attend. And thank you, Dan, for coming to announce it publicly at that event as well. Again, thank you very much.
I'm not aware of the need for an executive session, Joe or Jonathan. That's good news. We'll go to privilege of the floor for the public. I don't have any blue cards. If there's anyone out there who would like to speak on privilege of the floor, we would ask you to please fill out one of the blue cards in the back and send it forward. We'd be glad to hear from you. Is there anyone who would like to speak on privilege of the floor tonight? Not seeing any, we'll go to privilege of the floor for municipal officials. I see George McGonigal out there. George, would you like to speak? He's a member of City Council.
Yes.
Please go to the microphone.
Good evening.
Everyone, is that better? So I have an environmental story. I was out of town this weekend, and before I left, I turned the gas down on my water heater because I'm cheap. I mean, environmentally conscious. And I just got in the shower for your benefit. And
we feel special.
And became aware of the fact that I had forgotten to turn hot water back on. So
it's a quick shower.
Even when you're trying to do the right thing, it can be dangerous.
We appreciate your sacrifice.
Thank you. I have three things. One, the city's very pleased to announce that we've hired Dan Kogan to be the city, I forget his title, chief of staff. And I've known Dan for quite some time, and he was a top-notch legislator for the city, and I think he's gonna do the community well. So we're very happy. He started yesterday. The other thing is the Tioga Street situation, which I owe you an apology for, because when I was here a month ago, I said it was a done deal. That's what I was told by the Board of Public Works. At the meeting they had after that, they changed their mind and wanted to talk about it some more. And for a while, it looked like they might eliminate the parking on the west side of those two blocks of North Tioga Street. And as of today, it appears that we're back to the scenario that I said a month ago, that it looks likely that we will not eliminate any parking. It's not 100%, but according to the superintendent of public works, it's 90% likely. And the mayor is confident that that's the way it's going to be. So the only changes will be the speed limit on the 200 and 300 block of North Tioga Street will be reduced to 25 miles an hour. Nobody goes that fast anyway. There will be Sharrows painted on the street. That's the little bike guy. There will be no speed bumps on those two blocks, but there will be one on the 400 block. And the only parking change that's foreseen now is the addition of more handicapped accessible parking on those blocks. And I've been asked by the mayor to mention that it would be great if the county legislature could find some more public parking in their lot. I know there's a lot of limitations that you're facing, but if particularly handicapped parking, I think is something we really need more of. So there that is. Any questions about that? Yes, Martha.
Hi, George. You can tell the mayor you've done what he asked, but it's not our parking lot. I hope he knows that. So maybe y'all can go to the state court system and ask. We have asked in the past for one or two spaces to be designated on the street as handicapped parking. And, Joe, I don't remember where that went. I think nowhere, was because we don't have those spots. So if we have a juror, for example, who needs a handicap spot, we set aside that within, or the court system sets aside a space within our lot. But for the public, again, it's not a public lot, not under our control either. We've asked the city to make one or two, I think one long Court Street we asked at one point, and one long Tioga, make those to be handicapped, and we've gotten no agreement.
Well, it's my understanding that that's going to happen, at least on Tioga Street now. That's one of the things that's going to happen.
Okay. Okay, that'd be great.
Martha, I do think it is our lot, but we have a requirement under our agreement with the state to have a certain number of parking spaces set aside for the state employees.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from George? We got, you're popular tonight. Let's go with Anna. Anna Kellis, then Dooley, and then Jim.
Thank you for the update. One question, I know this was a sort of integral part of the group that has been trying to create bike passages through the city. Is there a discussion about an alternate now that it looks like this, the Tioga won't happen?
A different route to the commons with bike lanes?
Correct.
Nothing at this time, no.
Because I think I'd heard at some point there was a discussion about extending the Cayuga, given that it was already going straight in that, and it was already started. I wasn't sure if that had been picked back up or if that's not.
Negative.
Okay. Thanks for the update.
Julie?
I have a question about the speed bump. Will it be a more gradual design, similar to the ones on that the town of Ithaca has done on Judd Falls?
You mean wider and less of a jolt?
Yeah. If the speed limit is 25, you should be able to go over that at 25.
I'll make that request. I think that's a good request.
Thank you. And I'm very glad about an additional handicap space, too.
And Dennis.
George, thank you for talking about North Tioga. I have in front of me, and I will send it on to you, a diagram of our street level parking around these buildings. And we have roughly 109 spaces, and it shows very clearly how many are designated for New York State, how many are designated for the ledge, and so on. We have at the we have 97 county employees within the region. So clearly it is, there's a shortage of parking for our own people involved. So public parking is almost, it's almost impossible by the way. So this chart that I received from personnel a week or so ago. So I will forward that on to you and also the county administrator.
That'll be helpful because then they may understand better.
Okay. Thank you.
George, I would certainly hope you would take back to the Board of Public Works and the mayor our sincere appreciation for paying attention to this issue and listening to our comments and obviously other comments. We're just one of the people that were commenting on this. It makes a difference when we can work together on things.
I totally agree, and I will do that. Thank you very much. Speaking of working together, I have one more thing, and that is the Ithaca plan, the mayor's drug plan. The mayor is, as we speak, trying to arrange a meeting where he can present this plan to the county legislature. I think it's a couple tentative dates didn't work. I think the mayor is very conscious of the fact that the county legislature should have been involved sooner. It's certainly going to take the city and the county and others to make this work. I think the fact that several employees of the county were involved from the get-go just created a mistake that representative from the county legislature wasn't involved. And I think going forward, it'll be an all-inclusive effort. So I guess that's it.
Well,
relative to that, George, has the Common Council taken any position or discussed it, or do you have a process?
Yes, we discussed it at our last meeting, and every comment said, look, the county has to be involved in this.
But in terms of embracing the key tenets of the plan?
Yeah, I think there's widespread support.
Okay.
Yep. And awareness of the fact that it's a multifaceted plan. It's not all going to happen at once. It may evolve a little bit, you know, and the mayor is looking for wide-ranging funding sources, so it's not going to get laid in anybody's lap, but it's going to take more than one funding source, obviously, to do the whole thing.
Thank you.
Let me get Martha. No, Martha was before. Had spoke before too, didn't you? Or haven't you spoke?
Yeah, I spoke. Anna had her hand up first.
Well, I know, but I tried to get the ones that haven't spoke. So let's do Anna, then Martha.
Well, two things. One, I actually had one comment before we switched, really, and I just want to say it really quickly about the Tioga Street. That I know that what you are trying to do is very complicated as the city. That you're trying to support a movement in a sustainable direction to create a walkable. You're trying to support active transportation, and I applaud you, and I know it's very difficult. And I know there's the challenge of not imposing on the county in a way that would really hinder county members driving into the city county seat to engage with the county government. So I really appreciate that, but I would love to see continued efforts to connect all of the bike routes you know, in that initiative, and I'm looking forward to seeing the alternatives that you come forth with that as well. But I recognize that it's a tremendous challenge. As far as the drug policy is concerned, drug plan, do you have set a series of charrettes or public meetings? Because I would certainly also love to see some community engagement at this point. I know that the plan has been put forward in some ways, but how it's rolled out and the input from the city and the county as well, as far as public comment. So has that been under discussion and in the plans?
I'm sure that's going to be part of it, but I don't know any specifics about public meetings. Although, I mean, there was the public rollout at Cinemopolis, which was attended by a lot of people.
Right, to get input specifically.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask that question.
Okay. Martha?
Yeah, thanks, George. First of all, for being here, you and Duck being here, you know, many meetings, that's great. And as far as intermunicipal cooperation, we've got the Gorge Rangers proposal on the agenda today. Really happy to see, you know, that kind of shared responsibility. On the drug plan, is there a timeline for the city to establish the Office of, was it Drug Policy Analysis, that was a key part. The city was going to set up a particular office.
You're right. I suspect Savante could answer that question when he comes to you. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, so you don't have a specific proposal you've voted on?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Carol?
Other topics. One is the sidewalk plan. So the city embarked on a process whereby neighborhoods were able to weigh in on what sidewalk areas they wanted to see developed, in what order or next. Where does that stand?
There's the plans for this year's sidewalks are set, and there's five districts, and each one gets public participation, and so they'll be repairing existing sidewalks and creating some new sidewalks. And then going forward, particularly in my part of town, which has the fewest sidewalks in the city, on West Hill, there's plans to extend the sidewalks on Floral Ave and Hector Street, but those are longer-term projects. They're Does that answer your question?
Are they going ahead? Are you going ahead with Spencer Road?
Again, that the answer is yes, but things have slowed down in part because the sidewalk engineer just took the job as city traffic engineer, and so he's doing two jobs right now, and a new sidewalk manager has not been hired. So, yes, there's going to be, in fact, there may be a complete traffic redesign on Spencer Road, but it will include new sidewalks, yes.
Thanks. And do we have time for one more? The Chainworks. Where do you stand with the Chainworks folks on either moving that forward or deciding that it's not going to allow it?
They have presented their initial proposal. It's over 1,000 pages. And they're accepting comments on it now, I think till about mid-May. They will be presenting to the South Hill Civic Association this coming Saturday at their office downtown. So they are reaching out to the neighborhood, and the city and the town, both elected representatives and staff, are studying the what they've proposed now, and so that's the stage they're at. I mean, as you know, it's the biggest things. It's huge.
It's huge, yes. Some of us had the opportunity to tour it early on, and it went on and on and on and on and on. Thank you for the plug for the meeting. The South Hill Civic Association meetings are not closed meetings. Other people,
no.
If they're interested in a particular topic, I think would be welcome. It's also just a great neighborhood association, if I do say so myself. Gets out anywhere between 10 and dozens of people once a month on Saturday mornings at 9:30. Bagels. Those of you that for whom bagels is a draw, and as George said, this week there'll be a meeting Saturday morning at 9:30, and it's going to be at the Chainworks office right on the Commons, which is not our usual location.
Correct.
Just got one more, Dooley.
Give me
George,
more,
you're popular.
More. I'm sorry, Dan Cogan. I remember him as a council person, but he's also Tatum and. Tatum is involved in lots of stuff in this city, and he'll have to recuse himself from a certain amount of the work that goes on.
That is correct. We talked about that in detail last week, and he will have to recuse himself if the city hires Tatum to do some work, which I think they have done, but yeah. Not often. And even in proposed work, he will not be involved. And he was able to do that when he was on council as well. So he won't be working at Tatum anymore at all. He does retain some stock with Tatum, but. I think everybody's very conscious of no conflict of interest.
I'm glad to hear that. It's too bad that he's so capable. He's in so many things. But I'm glad you have him back.
Thank you very much, George.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I do see our Ithaca City clerk out there, Julie Holcomb. Is there anything you want to say to us tonight or just here to, I assume, about Gorge Rangers?
Yes, I'm here about Gorge Rangers.
Well, welcome to our meeting.
Thank you.
Privilege of the floor for legislators. None of you want to talk to him. Darn. I saw Rich's hand first. Rich John, then Martha. Who else? Put your hands up. Let's. Carol, Will, Anna. How about this side? Anybody? No, this side's the quiet side. All right, let's go with Rich John to start.
I just wanted to speak a little bit about Historic Ithaca and how happy I was to see the proclamation that we passed or presented tonight. Historic Ithaca has really made a difference in our community, and looking at the list of projects on the proclamation, I wanted to just add into that the State Theater, which, if you look at it, as a historic preservation project, it was definitely all of that. In getting it done, it's been a tremendous cultural resource for our community, and it's also been an economic engine for the downtown. Every time there's a show, there are lots of people coming down and eating and enjoying the downtown area, and it is such a wonderful example of what Historic Ithaca has been able to accomplish in our community. I just wanted to get out and double down on that proclamation. Historic Ithaca has never shied away from taking on the really hard projects and effectively betting the organization on getting things done. Certainly the Clinton House was a huge project for them, for the organization when they first started. And throughout its career, it's made such a difference. So. Great stuff for its first 50 years and 50 more. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich. Martha?
Two things. Thanks, Mike. Two things. First, the draft report from the Energy and Economic Development Task Force that's been working for most of a year. The draft report is being finalized, and it'll be put on the TCAD website tomorrow for public comment. So that'll be by close of business tomorrow. Close of business tomorrow. Don't look for it yet. At tcad.org. Comments will be due by May 27th. And Glenn Morey and Mike Lane and I have been on members of that task force. It's been working very, very hard. Joe and Ed Marks have been ex officio members as well. And a lot of really in-depth and very good conversations, and I've of course seen the report. I think it's there's a lot of meat to it, and I hope people will take a good look. Close of business tomorrow at tcad.org. And I wanted to give a shout out to Rob Scott. He's executive director of the Cornell Prison Education Program, which has been working in. Right now in two prisons in New York, Auburn and Cayuga Correctional Facilities, to bring college courses to inmates so that when they leave prison, some of them just so they can develop, you know, get degrees or have enriching experiences while they're in prison. Others are really looking towards when they leave. He was honored April 27th as a champion of change by the White House. So there was a reception for Rob and honoring Rob and nine other people from around the country who've been giving inmates you know, educational opportunities. And he's I've gotten to know Rob through the URO, the Ultimate Reentry Opportunity Initiative, that's gotten started in the community in the last few months. And it's really an inspiration. The Cornell Prison Education Program brings graduate students, Cornell professors to the colleges to give courses. And so far, 30 students have earned associate's degrees, and I believe another 15 are scheduled to graduate this spring. And it turns out, according to their website, according to Governor Cuomo, the percentage of New York parolees who are reincarcerated, the baseline percentage of reincarceration is 40%. The percentage of CPEP students who have completed an associate's degree who are reincarcerated, zero. So it really matters. It really helps when people are engaged in this kind of activity, and I'm glad that the Tompkins County is going to be it looks like we're going to be talking about this in the Public Safety Committee report. Looks like we're going to be supporting that kind of an effort locally as well. But I just wanted to make sure everybody heard about Rob Scott, who's been working for a good number of years and really making a difference for our prison inmates.
I have Carol Chalk next.
Oh, that's a nice segue, because I wanted to give a shout out to two radicals. One who has just left us and one who has just joined us. But Rob Scott really grew that program, and I share your admiration. But I cannot remember the name of the young faculty person at Cornell who I worked with to raise money for that program in the very beginning. And I can tell you, speaking of that, the tough time to do programs like that is in the beginning, when she was told, why would we want to use Cornell resources for that? We have so much else to do. And so I will look up the name and bring it back to you folks next time, if I can remember, for the vision to say we have something to offer. It will not only offer to the inmates in prison, help us get people out of the system, but the reports that I have gotten over the years from faculty and students I've known who've participated in that program, it gives more than they give to it. It's such an inspiration. The other person that I wanted to recognize, another person, is Daniel Berrigan, who died this week at the age of 94. Again, a man ahead of all of our time, being willing to put his own life, his own future on the line, standing up for what he believed in with his brother and the other forefront leaders of the Vietnam anti-war movement and just anti-war movement in general. Literally he gave his life served as a shining example to people that something can be done even when all forces seem headed in a certain direction. And one of the articles I saw a quote from his memoir. He wrote a lot of books in addition to some of the time that he spent in jail for having burned draft records. He used as a writer and continued to write. And here's a quote from his memoir. "Nothing can be done. How often we have heard that gasp, the last of the human, of soul, of freedom. Indeed, something could be done and was and would be." And, boy, he's one of the people who made that happen. But that spirit has not died. I noticed at the same time that I noticed that article, I noticed this year's set of winners of the Goldman Environmental Prize. Some of you may remember this from a few years ago when one of our own Tompkins County residents, Helen Slotgy, won the Goldman Environmental Prize. It's the top prize, environmental prize in the nation. They actually give awards internationally for people who've really made a difference, stuck their necks out environmentally. In Helen's case, it was for developing the legal strategy that led New York State ultimately to ban fracking. There's a young woman from Baltimore who this year, who was among the recipients, a 17-year-old from inner city Baltimore named Destiny Watford. 17 years old. She learned about plans in her neighborhood to build one of the nation's largest trash incinerators, burning trash to produce energy. Was being touted as clean energy. But in fact, within a mile of her high school, it was going to where the rates, the asthma rates, were already over 50%, and other youth problems of environmental mercury and other toxic chemicals were already high in a neighborhood where there had been a lot of industry in proximity to residents. This was going to vastly just have a terrible environmental impact on their health. And she sort of cast about for, well, what can we do? I'm 17 years old. What can we do? And they discovered that their own school had already signed a contract to purchase the power from this incinerator. And she organized her friends. She was a shy teenager, organized her friends to go to the school board and to say, why would you encourage the building of an incinerator within a mile of our school? If you're claiming to have the interests of our futures at heart, why would you do that? And the school board overturned its vote. They went on, emboldened, to approach the boards of the 21 other entities who had already signed contracts and got every single one of the 22 to cancel their contracts. The incinerator will not be built, and the city is making a renewed effort to find something that's truly environmentally sustainable to bring to that site. So congratulations to Destiny Watford. I think that you have a great destiny in front of you.
Thank you, Carol. Will Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. One of the treasures of our community, there are many theater operations, and one of my favorites is the Kitchen Theater, which has just opened its final production of its 25th year. It's called Paloma. And I saw it, I had the pleasure of seeing it the other day, and once again, I was just deeply moved by sort of the depth of what one experiences going to a production. This, if you haven't seen the blurb, basically it's about a young man who's devoutly Muslim who meets a young woman who's nominally Catholic at a graduate course, and they start falling in love with some ancient Islamic poetry. And this leads them to a trip to go to Spain to visit the ancient cities where previously some of the great religions of the world coexisted, at least for the time, relatively peacefully. And they are coming to grips with that, and then there's a very, very dramatic event, and it is just a deeply moving play. If you happen to be watching at home tonight, Tuesday nights, pay what you can at the theater, so you can go down there and get whatever you'd like to afford. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, is that they've just announced their 26th season, and also the fact that Rachel Lambert will be retiring after this year. So it's she has brought just an incredible vision to this theater and this community, and it's going to be very, very hard to replace what she's brought. But she's here at least for another year, and I encourage everybody to get down and see it. That play will be running through the 22nd of May.
I have Anna, Leslin, Jim, and me. Anna?
Announcements. One comment.
Can't hear you.
One comment that I just wanted to bring up. I know we've talked about fracking and gas pipelines and back and forth, and everybody has different perspectives. And I think in this case, I just want to make people aware, because sometimes notices don't get out there. And for anybody who hasn't seen the news, I encourage people to read up about the Spectra company in the pipeline. There was a pretty large explosion in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, from the pipelines. And I think it's just good that we're aware and we track the accidents that happen. I hope that they're tracked more often. And then we can make more educated decisions about whether or not the current system is working and the impact that it has. I know right now there's a guideline, a federal guideline, that pipelines can be within 50 feet of a house, a school, or a church. In this case, given the amount of explosions that have been happening, maybe that can be reevaluated. So I just wanted to bring an awareness to that. And there is an event that I wanted to share. The USGBC, the New York Upstate chapter, is they have fundraisers throughout the year, and they have one coming up tomorrow that I encourage everyone to go to, and that is, as I said, May 4th at 5:30 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. at Cultivare. And the event is called Salvage the Waste, Giving Your Garbage Another Life. You can go to my Facebook page, and there's an announcement there. It's $15 for non-students, $10 for students. And the speakers, it's a panelist. We do have John Lewis, the executive director of Historic Ithaca, a connection to our previous discussion and presentation. So thank you very much for participating. Kate McCarthy at Waste Reduction and Recycling. She's a waste reduction and recycling specialist in Tompkins County Solid Waste. Diane Cohen, who's the executive director of Finger Lakes Reuse. And Carrie Carpenter, who's the business development manager for commercial and municipal recycling for Casella's Western Region, and she'll be talking about recycling. The intention of the event is to discuss how recycling can actually create community engagement and unite the community around a collective vision of sustainability. And we all talk about it a lot. We understand it in theory, but putting it into practice is very difficult. And for the groups that are doing it, it's very difficult because they're so overworked to figure out how they can collaborate and support us in creating that collective vision. I think a lot of times the habits that we do on a daily basis are the things that we're the least conscious of, including what we put into our mouths and what we put into our trash. And so I think taking a moment where we can learn from the experts who do this work every day, giving us feedback of what our habits are, bringing some awareness to that, and then collectively and creatively figuring out how we can support recycling, reduce, reusing materials to create a very sustainable local system would support not just, you know, the community and the planet. It would also help us in our work as legislators. We have a comprehensive plan with the intention of creating as much sustainability as we can. We have an energy goal that is very progressive. And the only way this is going to work is if we do this as a community. So I encourage everyone to come. It's tomorrow at Cultivare, and that's, again, 5:30 p.m.
Leslie Mabing Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Martha and Carol, thank you so much for acknowledging Rob and the work with that they've put together for teaching courses in our correctional facilities. I'll throw into that mix Fred Wilcox at Ithaca College, who has also been involved with that, because many years ago, when I had more time on my hand, I got involved with that as well, once a week going into Elmira Correctional Facility and teaching and dispute resolution as well as a basic English course. So that was very rewarding, and it's amazing work to see what can happen and how it can change lives. So congratulations to him again. I want to, as always, bring the party. Got a little gloomy in here for a minute. I do want to say a big thank you to all the organizers of Streets Alive in downtown Ithaca. Always a beautiful event. Happened this past Sunday. My favorite, of course, was the marching band, the Haiti marching band. But it was really nice to see people out in the streets meeting and greeting despite the chilly weather, greeting each other and just being friendly and neighborly, and all of us trying to learn different aspects of life and culture that people had to share. And on that same vein, I do want to remind all of you that the Ithaca Festival is coming up. First weekend in June. I think it begins June 3rd, maybe. I think June 3rd is the parade. The 4th and 5th are festival days. It has an expanded footprint this time around, not just downtown, the heart of downtown, but also comes up Court Street, and will make use of the park that's a school district park right across from GX. It's an exciting opportunity. Your buttons are out. So next legislature meeting, I know you all will be sporting your lovely iFest buttons, mixing it up, as the theme says. So I just wanted to share those two things real quickly. And to also thank Julie for being here. I know we have a resolution on our agenda for gourd safety, and it is, was that a bell for me? I just started talking. Carol went on forever. She got no bell. All right, now watch it.
Please silence your electronic devices.
At any rate, so now I forgot what I was about to say. Okay.
That lesson.
Put it into your calendar. And I do want to make a quick announcement while you talk about Paloma. And I do want to share an activity that's coming up. It is our members of our Muslim community are offering families, individuals of all ages are invited to attend Taste of Muslim Culture, which would include more than 10 countries. Come experience the taste, smell, sounds of this diverse community. It is happening next Saturday. I think it's next Saturday the 14th. Yep. At GAC, 12 to 3 p.m. No, tasting trays.
That's 2 weeks.
Pardon me?
That would be 2 weeks.
2 weeks from
May 7th is Saturday.
Okay, the following Saturday, two Saturdays from now, Saturday the 14th, 12 to 3 o'clock, tasting trays will be sold starting from 10 o'clock, and proceeds will go toward building Ithaca's first mosque, which I think is a very exciting opportunity. So I wanted to share that. So if you ding at me again, I know it's in your calendar. So just wanted to share those things that are coming up in the heart of our lovely city of Ithaca.
Thank you. Jim Dennis.
Thank you. Rich brought up a historic Ithaca, talked about things that have happened in the community. I want to give a special recognition to Significant Elements. Reuse gets all the ink, but Significant Elements is an organization that does salvage on things that are in people's homes as they tear them down, and you can donate them to Significant Elements. And I bring that up because my son's partner, Sarah Johnson, is a significant part of Significant Elements. And she's done a great job with a lot of help from other people organizing the place. You can go in there and find almost anything you want. It's labeled, and it's a really interesting place to walk through and just see. So they've, from 1991 to 2016, they've done an amazing job in that building. And while Julie was here, it came to me, Mayor Ed Conley was involved with Historic Ithaca, and Sarah Adams and Vicki Romanoff and a lot of those old players. I don't mean old in age, but players in Historic Ithaca for many years. And being a city council person around those, it was an education to be around those people and learn all the things and watch the advent of Historic Ithaca through the year. So thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Jim. I wanted to mention that every once in a while we see a creature of government happen, which is called a permissive referendum. And a permissive referendum is simply what it says. It's when certain actions are taken by a governing body. The state law says that if people want a chance to vote on that action, then they can bring a petition and file it with that governing body, and they must have the opportunity to approve or disapprove it. It's not every action that a government takes, but certain things. And one of those is if you have reserve accounts for equipment or special purposes or recreation, and the governing body wants to spend the money out of that, then it could be subject to referendum. In my town, Dryden Town, there's a referendum going on today. and has to do with something we're a little bit involved with, and that is a piece of land on Pinckney Road along Fall Creek, which is also along the old railroad right-of-way that folks hope eventually to develop into a rail trail. The issue is whether to take money out of the town of Dryden's recreational reserve and spend it to buy a piece of property, about 15 acres, I believe, is the size of that. We have already voted here at the county to authorize the expenditure of about $15,000 to assist the town in that. But there's been quite a spirited campaign going on out in Dryden. If you haven't driven through, there are a lot of signs, and it's yes or no. Either yes to allow them to spend the money or no to stop them from spending the money. The polls are open at odd times. They open today at noon, and they only are open until 8 o'clock. So the reason I'm saying this is for the folks out there in the audience who are members of who are residents of the town of Dryden, who are voters. If you live on the east part of the town, you will vote in the fire station in Dryden, Neptune Hose Company. If you are on the west part of town, Ellis Hollow, Aetna example, you will vote in the Varner Community Center. And I hope folks get out to vote. These small elections like this, similar to school boards, often are decided by a few votes. So I want to spend a lot of time on that, but we don't see this happen very often when there's an issue referendum. So thank you for giving me that time. And then I have Martha Robertson. Anybody else after Martha? I have Dooley Kiefer. And we'll move on.
Yeah, Mike, I just was going to prep, you know, push the referendum. So if people have till 8 o'clock tonight to go and vote, it takes about a second because it's just a yes or a no. I strongly support the yes option. I think it was a good, it's a really great investment for the town, and that's one of the reasons the county has appropriated or has voted to appropriate $15,000 towards the purchase. So thanks for bringing that up, Mike.
You too. Dooley.
Thanks, Carol. I wore my peace shirt because I was thinking about Daniel Father Berrigan also. And those of us who have been around a while will remember his various connections with Ithaca. There are many people in Ithaca who know him very well. He was originally best known as a poet, a writer. And following the way he went, he educated himself on different issues and was inspired to do the things he did. It is wonderful to think about. He surfaced in Ithaca at one point while he was still in hiding before he was eventually arrested. And I guess it was at Bailey Hall, but I could be wrong. I sort of remember Bailey Hall.
Oh, it was at Barton Hall.
It was Barton Hall, some big place up on campus.
It was.
And he was very close to getting caught there, but he managed to, I thought, disguise himself as a puppet. And he sneaked away again. There are just lots of good stories about him in Ithaca. A fine man.
All right, let's move on. Thank you. We have an item on consent. I'm going to actually pull it off and turn to Martha, who's the Vice Chair of Public Safety. And this is Resolution I. And Martha, I wondered if you would move it. I'm sorry?
Absolutely. Authorization.
Oh, it's not on consent, excuse me. It's on the regular agenda, but let's just move it anyway.
Okay. Authorization of an intermunicipal agreement between Tompkins County and the City of Ithaca to support an expanded Gorge Ranger program and appropriation of funds necessary to implement that agreement. I so move.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion. Dooley.
There are a couple of changes I'd like to suggest. For clarity initially, that in line 15, it says, has requested the county and town support $15,000, but which town has not yet been mentioned in this resolution, so I think it should say the county and the town of Ithaca there. And then down in line 28, we're okaying the execution of an intermunicipal agreement with the City of Ithaca. We'll contribute $7,500 to support the hiring of an additional 2 Gorge Rangers who will be deployed from mid-May through September 2016. And another thing that I would like to see in this resolution is that in negotiating and executing this agreement, it make clear that the county will have will not face any liability. That is what I read in the memo attached to this resolution draft, and if that's really what is intended, I think it would be good to have that in the resolution itself. So I need to ask, first of all, was the memo correct? Is that what is intended?
Yes.
Okay. So then I would recommend we add that to the line 28, and we'll hold the county harmless from liability. So I'd move that addition.
Martha.
Well, the first one is certainly so to add of Ithaca, yeah, in line 15. But tell me again what you're suggesting. Is it line 28?
Line 28. Yes.
How would it read?
And we'll hold the county harmless from liability.
Okay, those are friendly. Who's that?
That was
yes.
That's both friendly.
Yes.
All right. Can we any other discussion on this? Let's go to Jim, Mike, Carol.
Let me just say we had a meeting of the budget committee prior to this meeting, and this was on our agenda. And it came out a 2-2 vote. So, as you know, that is, we are not recommending it at this point. But public safety clearly is.
Mike Sigler.
I'll be quick. This just seems to me that we're adding another layer of security to something that I just don't agree with. It seems like we're going after a victimless crime so that then we can prosecute people, so that hopefully we can prevent people from doing something that, frankly, they've done in Ithaca forever. And that's just my basic feeling on it. It seems that no matter what you do up there, people are going to want to swim in the gorges because that's a part of being Ithacan, and that's kind of what you people do. I mean, not you people, but that's what people do in Ithaca. I mean, if you talk to people from 50 years ago, they say, oh, I remember swimming in that gorge and da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. So now what we're going to do is we're going to put people up there with video cameras, not to really stop people from swimming because they don't really have the authority to do that, but good, we'll have videotape of them so that maybe they'll think twice about doing it, or maybe then we can, you know, hey, we're going to ticket you and here's a video of you doing this. And I don't know. It just seems to me that we're now... It just is another touch of big brotherism that I just, frankly, don't approve of. So,
Carol,
I had a question for maybe Julie or somebody else who's been involved in this about what the hours were going to be of the Rangers.
Julie, to come to the microphone.
May come back to comments after I hear other people, or I'll make a comment afterwards.
Julie, so your Holcomb, question City about Clark. What hours the patrols would be?
The hours, and
we're looking at 12 noon to 8 p.m. 7 days a week.
Okay. And to what extent are you looking to monitor? Can you move over just a little bit, Will, an inch? Thank you. Are you looking to monitor and prevent the swimming behavior, and to what extent address the issues that we've had with huge crowds of people with coolers of alcohol and literally sound systems that they've brought in and are disturbing neighbors in a way that never did happen in the past.
Right, and that's exactly what we're hoping to address. I think what Mr. Sigler talked about, it is very true. I mean, historically, people have swum in the Six Mile Creek Natural Area for decades. However, we have a very different problem now. We're getting very large crowds. Tompkins County Sheriff's Department has documented crowds of up to 250 swimmers at a time. There are copious amounts of alcohol. There's drug abuse happening up there. It's a very different and more dangerous situation than what we've had in the past. As you know, last year we had a tragic death, and that was right after a gorge ranger had told them not to jump off of the cliff. So what our goal is really to help assist the Tompkins County Sheriff's Department in this. The second dam is geographically located in the town of Ithaca, which makes it the Tompkins County Sheriff's Department jurisdiction. We know that your resources are very limited. We're looking to pool our resources with your resources so that we can get a better handle on this situation, and that we're hoping by having more eyes and ears on the ground, we can get law enforcement in when the groups are smaller and they can be more effective. They can issue tickets if it is deemed necessary. When the crowds get to 75, 100, 150 and over, they really can't do anything. It's not safe for them, number one, and they can't do much of anything except evacuate the area. Then they leave and people come back and we have the same dangerous situation. So it is a liability issue both for the city of Ithaca, and I would say probably for the town of Ithaca, and I would say probably for Tompkins County. And so we're doing our best to put what we believe is the most cost-effective resolution in place to pilot. We do not know if this will be successful or not. We're asking for a one-year pilot program so that we can compare data that we collect this year against the baseline data that we collected last year to measure our level of success.
So thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll admit I've had mixed feelings about the approach we should take here, because I do think that that this has become an issue in a way that it wasn't before. But I also have always liked the approach of sending somebody who is more of a forester, ranger, to deal with this issue. We have beautiful gorges and we want people to enjoy them, but in a more of an educational capacity to help people, to encourage people to enjoy our gorges in a way that's safe. Personally, I have less problems with swimming than I do with jumping and swinging off of very high places, because I've known several young people who have either been severely injured, or a good friend of one of my children's did die there. We want to prevent those kinds of things from happening. I think that that's a better way to go than to just be bringing in the heavier duty law enforcement. And that's why I support trying this for a year. But I do hope that it doesn't develop into too heavy-handed an approach that says you can't even, roll your pants up and wade or go in and enjoy. But enjoy safely, and here's how to do it.
Jim? Jim, then Anna, then me.
Yeah, my point was that this is not a new program. And Julie informed me, and I remember years ago we talked about it on City Council. It's been around 20-plus years. So what we're really doing is adding, I believe, one more ranger to the core that they already have, or to whatever it happens to be. This is not a new program. For heaven's sakes, more people have arrived, and they're going to try to have more gorge rangers, and we'll see how it works out. So it makes perfect sense to me for a trial basis, and get the numbers and talk to us again a year from now.
Anna?
I agree, doing it for 1 year and doing that pilot, I support that as well. I had a few questions, and I understand this. Having a tragic death is certainly a really good impetus, and I appreciate that response. Do we have, and I don't recall the timing of that death, can you clarify?
It was in July.
What time of day?
Oh, time of day was probably late afternoon, I would say 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And did that
have any sway on the timing of when we're looking for this additional?
Actually, the timing came out of data that we collected from the Gorge Rangers that we hired last year, the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office and the Ithaca Police Department. We collected all of their incident reports and their logs that they took, and we actually mapped all of that data onto a map so that we could run analytics on it. We can tell you how many incidents happened at which location, which day of the week, which time of day, what the temperatures were, and all of that, in an attempt to be really strategic with these resources in 2016.
And so are we finding that the weekends are where the highlights
Sunday
are?
Sunday is our number one day in the gorges, Saturday, Friday, and then it kind of jumps around in days of the week, but yes.
And does it dramatically drop off after 8 o'clock? Is that a reason why that point was chosen?
Yes.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
You know, I fully support this, and I want to say why for a couple of reasons. Mike, I realize your point that it's more government, it's more Big Brother watching, but we need to make sure that we do what we can to protect people. Our gorges are wonderful, but they're filled with dangers, so many that young people particularly don't understand, whether it's the attraction of the pool at the bottom of Tagannock Falls, or a rock that can fall down and kill somebody if they get too close to the edge, whether it's somebody who sadly decides to jump off a bridge into a gorge, or whether it's people who go out to have a great time swimming and jump off a cliff and maybe end up with a dead person or a spinal injury. Those things can happen. We're talking now about worrying about people who inject themselves with drugs, and we don't want them to die. Well, we're also talking about people who do silly things. They don't expect to get hurt. They don't expect to be injured when they're out on a trail or when they're swimming at the dam. But they do get injured. They do get hurt. And we have a responsibility to try to minimize the chance of their getting hurt. And when we go out with these folks that are, they're not police officers, but they're there to remind folks in the area of what the rules are, then that's a good thing. And the fact that we're trying to work together, the town and the Ithaca, town of Ithaca, the city of Ithaca, and the county, that's a good thing too. We can work together on these kinds of things, and it sets an example. So those are some of the reasons I'm going to vote to support this tonight. I've got Martha, then Will.
No big news other than to agree with a lot of what's been said in support of this. This is a very, from our point of view as the county, it's a very cost-effective way to do something effective. And, you know, we heard about this at the Public Safety Committee meeting a number of times last summer at the Public Safety Committee. And I think it's we can't just ignore it. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, well, kids will be kids. you know, I'm sorry, one death is enough. It's enough to make me convinced that we're already too late. I mean, we can't stop kids from doing risky things, but we also can't just shrug our shoulders. And I think this is a very effective way to partner with two other municipalities, and I think we should do it.
Will Burbank?
Well, I voted for this in committee, but I expressed some ambivalence, and I continue to have some. I probably will vote for it tonight as a trial basis, and Julie, I really appreciate you coming here and explaining that. I'm familiar with the long history. I think it was an attempt to deal with a serious situation and sort of a very minimalist approach that might have some positive effects. But, you know, Mike, much of what you said, I also agree with. You know, I think there's a long tradition of people swimming in our communities. There is a certain joy to be found to being able to swim in an unsupervised area. Yes, it's dangerous, Mike. It certainly is. Walking on the trails are dangerous. Their life is filled with dangers. One of the newer ideas in playgrounds is a return to play areas that are actually have some inherent dangers. There is a feeling that we as human beings need to come to grips with our environment and know that it's not always benign, and the attempt to endlessly insulate us from that reality is ultimately not helpful. But again, as a trial, I will be voting it for tonight. Julie, I hope we do get some good data. And I guess my appeal and what I will be looking for is that it is more educational, less heavy-handed. And if I'm hearing that, we will move forward positively.
Leslie.
Thank you. And thank you, Will, for the last part of what you said there about more education and less, sort of confrontational. I try to convince my esteemed colleague across the way earlier today that, it is more about that. We also live in a so happy community and country, so let's not forget that. And if we don't do everything we can possibly do to educate people to any number of things, who knows what might come down the line towards us. I think it's less heavy-handed. A couple of years ago, when we decided to support a outreach worker downtown, rather than have law enforcement just arresting people who were loitering or people who were getting involved in drugs, we've seen the effects of something like that. It was a softer approach, and this is what I'm seeing this as, friendlier folks who can just remind people, that they're dangerous. No one is saying don't roll up your pants, Carol, and wade your foot in the water. But if you're engaging in activities, you're getting intoxicated, chances are you're not just going to be, shaking your legs in the water. You're going to be stumbling, falling, something might happen. And so we just really want to make sure that we're doing everything to try to encourage people to be safe. That's what it is. It's not, Big Brother might, promise to send, somebody with a video camera to my house to make sure I'm safe, and I'd be happy. I'll welcome that. It's not just about, it's really about human connection and trying to get people to do something different and in a cost-effective way. We cannot afford to put deputies sitting at the gorges all day long. That would be extremely expensive. This presents itself in a much more cost-effective and much more humanistic way of getting people to understand the dangers and to do a little differently.
Mike, I'll be really quick. Just an alternative suggestion. Maybe you fence it in, you put some lifeguards in there, you charge people $10 per swimming tag. City now has some money.
A sneaking suspicion you're one of the people who's down there swimming and jumping.
Not out there for you.
Uh-huh.
All right, anything else? Are we ready to vote? This requires a short form roll call. Go ahead.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? I have 1, 2, 3 no's. The resolution passes.
Thank you, and I just want to say thank you for having me. This is the first time I've been in your new chambers, and this room is absolutely stunning. You should be congratulated.
Thank you, Julie.
We're glad you came over, and we're always glad to have you here. Martha, there is one on consent agenda. I see Dwight's out there. I think maybe he would like us to do that.
Okay.
I think he's here for Resolution D.
Right, that's under planning. Resolution D, approving Tompkins County's 2016 Title VI program and policies for the Federal Transit Administration, ID 6265.
Is there a second? There's a second, please. Seconded by Rich. Discussion.
Where are we?
Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed?
Wait, I didn't raise
That's
my
That's unanimous.
Hand okay. Carol, you voted yes at planning.
Yes.
I couldn't find the page. Step behind.
All right, let's go back up. Chair's report, I would just say that we did have another Bicentennial Commission meeting this past week. And we've sent out letters to the various town supervisors asking if they will accept an historic marker, which we're working on. We'd like to have one in each of the towns. And we also want to include the town of Hector in Schuyler County because until 1853, it was part of Tompkins County. We want it back, but they haven't offered to come back yet. In fact, as they were the first town we heard from that said, "We're so glad you thought about us for this. You're part of your bicentennial celebration." I know Joe Mariana and his county administration has been working on some videos that we're going to be making available for spots. So we haven't exactly said where we'll be putting them in 2017. We've had a number of folks come in since the announcement of the year 2017 as the bicentennial year with ideas of things that we can do. And we'll be looking those over and trying to incorporate as many as it seems valid. We could possibly, we don't have a huge budget, but we'll be working on that. And we'll be talking to you more as we go along, but this year is the planning stage, and we're going to be doing some efforts in 2017, which I think we can all be proud of. Martha.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I'm really glad that you're championing this. I also want to let you know that Rod Howe at the Historical Society is pulling together a group that's working on the anniversary of women's suffrage in New York State, which is also 2017. So we'll try to put those things together.
We're going to put one of our people on the $20 bill.
One and
Auburn.
And four others on the $5 bill. So,
great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have any appointments tonight. Let's go to our county administrator, Joe Mariana, for his report.
Thanks, Mike. I'm going to begin with a little bad news that I think many of you are aware of, and that's the passing of our friend Joe Turcotte, who passed away yesterday after a very long and amazingly courageous battle with cancer that he's been fighting for several years now. I think all of us who knew Joe, and I think all of us did know Joe, know how dedicated he was to public transit in this community and to the community, and how his creativity really helped give rise to the TCAT as we know it. I just looked. He was with TCAT since 2005, so during most of its existence. He was at the helm and did a tremendous job. So I know you'll pass along your thoughts and sympathies to Joe and his family and to the organization. We'll certainly miss him.
Joe, why don't we pause for a minute for a moment of silence for Joe Turcotte. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Just a couple of things on my list tonight, and I'll save most of my words for later on, if needed, on the budget, which is where most of my time has been spent over the last couple of weeks. To brighten the report a bit, I was reminded when Leslin talked about the Ithaca Fest that it's outreach season again. You know that we've made a concerted effort to get out into the community during the season of parades and community events to let people know who we are, what we do, that we're human beings, and give them a sense of really the diversity of us and of what we do for a variety of reasons. And it really, it makes a difference. So as we go forward, if you haven't seen already, I think Marcia has passed out a list or sent forward a list of the events that are scheduled for this season. To everybody who's here and to all the staff of the county, it's a lot of fun. And it's also, it does good things in terms of showing the community who we are. So please try to participate when you can. The other thing about that's kind of fun, and you know I'm all about fun, we are beginning to talk about a county picnic. And this is something that Leslin has been pitching for some time in WDIC, that the steering committee, who's picked up the climate survey and talked about what we ought to do next, has championed during the CUP events. People have talked about the desire to come together as an organization, have a little fun, get to know each other. And it looks like it may happen this year. We put together an organizing committee. We're encouraging county staff to be involved in the planning of it. So we think that by the end of summer, we will have a nice event for the organization in the form of a picnic. Now back to reality.
Hey, that's good reality.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a very good reality. The last thing, we a couple of meetings ago, we spent a lot of time talking about bonds for capital projects, which led to a conversation about the capital planning process and when are there opportunities for input in terms of what that plan looks like. So I wanted to make sure the entire legislature was aware, and I'm probably saying what Dave was going to say also, but at the next F&I meeting, I'm hoping to have a draft capital plan for 2017, a draft plan to present to facilities and infrastructure, to talk about both old programs and where they stand, but also a couple of new capital projects that seem to want to get on the agenda for 2017 through 2021. I'll make sure that all legislators get a copy of the materials that we'll distribute in that meeting, and if you, I'm sure if you'd like to attend the meeting to be a part of that, that you'd certainly be welcome to do it. But that will be the kickoff of the capital project, capital program part of the budget at F&I at its next meeting in, I guess it would be in June. Yeah. So that's my report.
Quick question.
Question, Anna.
I'm wondering, you said we don't have any appointments. Do we have the...
There'll be appointments. I don't have any chair's appointments.
Oh.
There are appointments on the consent agenda out of the committees.
Sorry.
Anything else for Joe? Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Jonathan Wood, our county attorney.
I do not have a report.
Any questions for John? Dooley?
Well, it's not a question. I was hoping Jonathan would remind folks to turn in their financial disclosure forms.
Turn in your financial disclosure form. I'm hesitant to do that because I haven't done it myself, but please do it.
On May 15th, right? Is that the date?
Have we gotten those? Are they in our boxes?
They were emailed.
They were emailed from...
What, a couple months ago, I think.
Right.
If you haven't got them, ask Kathy and she'll send you a new one.
I've never seen mine.
Probably print you off one, too. Rick Snyder is not here tonight. Is there any report out for him tonight? Okay. I did want to mention one thing on my report, which I forgot about, and that is there's going to be an effort for county employees to have ID badges. And we can have those ID badges, too. I think probably it would set a great example if we do that. They're going to be the kind of badges that will probably hang on a lanyard around your neck. They would be probably a photo ID. And if it would be a good idea, we could probably arrange a few minutes before our next meeting to have your picture taken for an ID card. And I think that would be a good thing. You know, whether you need to wear it at meetings, I'm not sure, but if you're around and to be able to identify you as a person that should be at the county where you're supposed to be, here it is again, my big brother, but we have some real reasons for this. We know we've talked about events that could happen. We've had the training, some of us, for situations where there might be someone who wanted to do an employee harm. And being able to identify an employee, whether it's another employee or whether it's a public safety officer of some kind, I think is important. So we'll try to arrange that. Dooley?
Are you contemplating black and white or color badges?
I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. You could ask our county administrator.
It's a white background. I think it's blue lettering, I think, with a county seal on it, kind of a muted county seal with large first name, small last name. I think your employee ID number is in small print on the card as well.
She's wondering if it's going to be a color photograph or a black and white photograph.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant the color scheme for the card. Yes. The photographs will be in full color.
She's trying to think what to wear.
Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Martha.
I'd like to withdraw Resolution K. This is the bond resolution for the William George Agency. There's a question about the seeker, and it hasn't been completed yet.
Right. Anything else? That is withdrawn. Okay. Let's go to the consent agenda. I do have some appointments. From the advisory boards, the STOP DWI advisory board, Dana Half and Ryan Slocum. And to the Air Services Board, Dave McKenna. Resolutions, if anyone wants to discuss them, just say off and we'll take them off consent. Resolution A, award.
Off.
Resolution B, budget adjustment to increase Consolidated Highway Improvement Program CHIPS revenue from the Highway Division, that's ID 6282. Resolution C, supplemental agreement number 14 with CNS.
Revised?
I'm sorry?
Is that the revised?
Is it revised?
Yeah.
That's the revised. Supplemental agreement number 14 with CNS Engineers, terminal expansion, additional construction observation, ID 6281. Out of Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution E, authorization to enter into a multi-year lease agreement for the Workforce Development Board, ID 6209. Out of the Budget and Capital, out of the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Resolution F. Does that go forward? Award of 2016 Tourism Capital Grants, ID 6270. Is there a motion on the consent agenda by Anna, seconded by Dave? All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Those opposed, that's unanimous. All right, we'll go to committee reports. We'll start with the Public Safety Committee. Peter Stein is not here tonight, so we'll turn to Martha Robertson as the vice chair.
Thank you, Mike. We met on April 21st up at the Crash, Fire, and Rescue Building up at the in the airport campus. A couple of interesting things. One is that the we had a teleconference with the governor's traffic safety representative. Her name was Maureen something I can't pronounce, Kozakiewicz or something. So I have the spelling if anybody needs it. She was on the phone. This is about the grants that we usually every year just sort of go through to provide bike helmets, to provide child safety seats for families, and basically not really income qualified. We just anybody needs a seat or even just needs a seat, a safety seat checked on how it's installed. Our officers do that. Fire departments in the, around the county do it. Cornell has some of these programs as well. It's always been funded through the state, but basically a pass-through from federal money. So Maureen was there to tell us that that money has been cut. The feds are cutting the child safety seat. We will be getting 5% of the previous budget. And if anybody wants, you know, there may be a chance for that 5% to be able to be distributed through the WIC program or DSS, but pretty much it's gone. Child safety seat protections are gone, and the bike helmet money is completely gone. So just wanted y'all to know that your federal government is protecting your pocketbooks and not your children. So we spent the most of the time at the we had a couple resolutions here. I'll come to those, but most of the discussion time was about the reentry program plan as put together by a few staff, then brought through the CJATI committee. So it was brought to public safety for discussion and feedback, which we gave, of course, and then at the next meeting, Joe and Susie Cook will put together a resolution to bring that forward with the changes that we suggested. And so expect for that to come to the legislature in 2 weeks.
It will come after public safety, so it'll be a month from that.
Okay. All right. I can discuss that further if you want, but we're not ready to vote on it yet. And then at the end of the meeting, we had a training demonstration with the simmunitions equipment. That's why we were up at the Crash Fire and Rescue Building, which my big takeaway was, thank goodness I'm not a law enforcement officer and never would want to be. This was, you know, we watched the kind of training that they have with this huge screen. It's not just like a simulator on your computer or anything. It was probably the size of that, basically that space there, and putting the officer very much in, and the rest of the room was darkened, so you really had the feeling that you were in the situation, and the officer had to decide what to do, you know, on the spot, just as they do every single day and night of the week. So it was a very compelling experience, and I really appreciated the sheriff's staff that set that up and went through that with us. And I think it's a real benefit for our officers. They were using it for training. It's much more effective than what they just used the fire range before, which doesn't give you anything like that kind of in the moment experience. And since it's so accessible, it's right up there. People can, you know, if there's a situation somebody wants to work through, they can set it up. They can customize the video, you know, the scenario that somebody goes through. And they're using it for other agencies as well, not just for the sheriff's department. So really appreciated the staff that helped us with that. So there.
Questions for Martha? Martha, you got some resolutions, please?
All right. We've got Resolution G, a resolution calling on the state of New York to fully reimburse counties for district attorney salary increases set by the state. And I so move, and there's a slight change. If
you want to say that one real loud, yes, so they can hear us in Albany?
Resolution calling on this. Is Andrew Kassler still here?
I just walked out.
Of course. All right.
Send him a copy of this tape.
Okay. Calling on the state of New York to fully reimburse counties for district attorney salary increases that are set by the state.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley, I thought, saw next.
And we have a slight change on line 36 that we discussed at committee, and it was Rich's suggestion. We passed it at committee, didn't make it here, just in terms of instead of the word appeal, that should say should repeal. So resolve further that in the alternative, in other words, if the state doesn't reimburse counties as they have for 50 years, should say that in the alternative, the New York State Legislature should repeal Judiciary Section 183A. So that was already passed by committee. So this, Kathy sort of confirmed that today, and that should be the language.
Line 33.
Julie?
Yeah. Line 36, where it says appeal, it says should repeal.
Okay.
So in line 14, it refers to state judicial law 183A, which sounds more like the way it's usually referred to. And I think that should be the same thing in line 36.
Should repeal. State judicial law 183A.
If that's how it's usually referred to, yeah.
Is that friendly?
That's fine.
Yeah, I assume it's friendly with Dooley, so.
And I have a question in line 12. It says on April 1st. I assume that's 2016. It's something that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
If that's right, could we put the year in there as you have in line 23?
Sure.
Sure.
John?
It's judiciary law.
It would be correct.
It's correct the second time, not the first time.
So they should be the same.
I realize that. I'm just saying.
Let's make it correct in the resolution. Jonathan has advised us. All right. Anything else? Martha?
Yeah, just to make it clear that this is the state sets the judiciary salaries, and policy for longstanding policy had been that district attorneys in the counties should be paid at the same level as the Supreme Court judges, which is not up to us. It's the state's law. And for more than 50 years, the state, any time that those salaries have increased by state action, the state has also reimbursed counties for the delta, for the difference. And Joe, is this the first time in your memory that they have not included that increase in the state budget?
Yes.
Okay. And then it would be $1.6 million in reimbursement costs for all the counties, and they did not include that this year.
Okay, ready to vote? Those in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Those opposed? I think that's unanimous.
I would raise two if I could.
I'm sorry?
I said I would raise two if we were allowed.
Gotcha.
The next one is to actually appropriate any appropriation from contingent fund district attorney salary increase, ID 6269.
Second from someone? Seconded from Anna.
So this would take $29,288 for approximately three quarters of 2016, so that the annual added cost is around $40,000. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, that's right.
Set to also go up again in 2018.
Further discussion, Will?
My understanding is that we essentially have no choice in doing this. Is that correct? The state has mandated this. We have to do this. But I understand there have also been some counties that have chosen to ignore that. Do we know what happens in that event?
I don't know. The state always finds a way to sanction or be able to, you know, somehow get the money to the right place. Yeah. Specifically, I don't know, Will, what they would do.
Okay. Thank you.
They're bigger than we are, unfortunately.
Yes, they are.
Ready to vote? This is a short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Are there any noes? That's unanimous.
I have Resolution J, appropriation from the General Fund, 2015 medical and board out costs for the Sheriff's Office. So moved.
There's a second. Seconded by Dan. Discussion. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Oh, sorry, she says short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Any noes? Leslin. That passes. Anything else, Martha?
Just our next meeting is May 19th, Thursday, May 19th, 3:30, back in this room.
Thank you. Let's go to the Health and Human Services Committee. Leslin McBean-Claiborne is the chair.
Health and Human Services Committee has not met since our last meeting. We will be meeting two Mondays from now. I think it's the 18th, might be the 16th. I reported our last meeting. I just want to reiterate that HHS started the year meeting on the first Thursday of the month, and we have since revised our meeting date to meet on the third Monday at 3:30 to accommodate many of our department heads who hold key roles in state agencies and have conflicting meetings at those times, as well as one of our legislators. So we will be meeting third Mondays, 3:30, right here. And at our next upcoming meeting, what we would have been doing this Thursday, which is a discussion around heroin use and all the opiates in our community, and, you know, sort of getting full-fledged information about what are we seeing. Is this really an epidemic here? What are we doing? The use of NACOM and other
drugs to combat that will occur. I spoke with our district attorney today. She was all prepared to come into the presentation, and she will be here on the next HHS meeting date so we can be engaged in a very informative discussion around that issue and what resources we need to be putting towards dealing with the issue here in Tompkins County.
Questions for Leslie? Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome.
We'll go to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. That's Dave McKenna as chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. F and I met last Monday in this area, and we had a presentation from facilities that showed us pictures of the new mental health building that just opened under the new design this last week, and it looks very nice. I think it's going to be a vast improvement over what we had in the past. And we also had a discussion of library project, and they have decided to hire QEK out of Syracuse, which is the firm that originally did the design for the library. And I guess they've done some supplemental work beyond that. They will be doing the design for the new areas, the lab and so on and so forth. Solid Waste also gave us a presentation, and basically the big thing there was that their budget appears to be starting to stabilize. The decreases in the amount of money paid for materials has sort of slowed down, and some other factors have picked up, so they have money coming in from other sources. So their budget's starting to stabilize, and hopefully it'll stay that way throughout the year. Highway Department, the big story of the Highway Department was the state CHIPS money, an additional $460,892.25, which will be used to pave our highways and help make things a little smoother out there. The other thing that we talked about was we have, under the Bridge New York program, we have submitted 4 bridges for consideration for the grant for the Bridge New York program, 2 on Shelter Valley, 1 on Dodge Road, and 1 on George Road. So we'll let you know when we find out more about that. It's really in the front end. The other really good news was the airport received a $375,000 award for air services from New York State, and they're going to be looking for a couple other grants to go with that to help improve things at the airport and make things better, but that stuff's still on the not on the front burner quite yet. And that's the end of that. And I have one resolution, water contract terminal parking lots at the Tompkins County Regional Airport, ID 6286. And Dewey pulled that.
Looking for a second. Seconded by Anna. Who pulled it?
Dewey. I pulled it. I'll second it.
No, we got a second. I need it. Why did you pull it?
I pulled it, and I'm passing around the language I wanted to add. taken from the memo that was attached to this, insert a second whereas between the existing first and second ones. Insert whereas the current contract is a management contract, with all expenses and maintenance costs borne by the county and the county receiving all net revenues. And so it describes the kind of contract, which is not our typical kind of contract.
Is that an amendment are we talking about?
I move to amend the resolution to include that.
Motion to amend the resolution. Is it friendly?
I believe it's friendly because of...
Friendly to the seconder?
Yes.
All right. That's been added.
Thank you.
Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Dave. The Transportation Committee has not met since our last meeting. Our next meeting will be May 11th. Questions? Let's go to Dan Klein as the chair of the Government Operations Committee.
Thank you for that.
What's me?
Time's up.
That concludes my report.
You're a special group. That's a break for the legislature.
Line out.
We are meeting tomorrow at 3:30 in this room, and we have several items that we'll be discussing. One is the library bylaws. They have changed their bylaws a while ago, and we haven't had a chance to look at them yet. Another item is that Jay Franklin, the head of our assessment department, will be here to talk about a change that New York State has made to the STAR tax exemption program that is causing a lot of confusion. There's a lot of unanswered questions. It's going to probably cost some of our residents extra money, certainly some hassles and a lot of confusion. So he's going to be here to try to present what he knows about it and to answer our questions to the extent that he can. And then another item is our colleague Rich John has written an ethics resolution. This is calling on the New York State Legislature to pass ethics reform for themselves. It's a really extensive resolution. It should be a really interesting discussion, and you're all invited. That's my report.
Questions for Dan?
What time again?
3:30.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Back to Martha for the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee.
Thank you, Mike. I have no other resolutions from the committee, but just a couple of updates. We met on April 20th, and we're meeting again on May 18th. Ed gave us an update on a number of different things that are happening right now and coming to fruition in the next month or two. There was a presentation, a couple of folks came to the presentation by the engineers on the microgrid feasibility study, and that was sent to NYSERDA. Last week it was sent to NYSERDA. A really interesting presentation on what's involved in if we do go forward on a microgrid. And the next stage is to there's another application where the state would put an even higher amount of money and help to take the very general plan to design development. But that would require a match from all the participants in the area and who would be included. So it's going to take some more work to sort of pull that together. And so Ed thought that we had about three or four weeks to make that second application, which was kind of a panic moment, and then found out it was October. So they do have some time to develop the proposal and go to all the stakeholders and get input and buy-in, we hope. The report on the green energy initiatives, where Tatum is the consultant working with county planning on and with TCAD on what kind of incentives might be effective for IDA projects. So that's been going on. So we expect in June to have a report to the committee, and they'll, of course, also go to the IDA, which is the body that would actually vote to put any incentives in. They have been working on the energy focus areas, South Hill, East Hill, Maplewood, East Hill including Maplewood, downtown and the airport area are the areas where our consultants, TRC and Tatum, are working with NYSEG to try to get information on the needs for power, electric and gas for power in those areas for current proposals that are already in the pipeline, as well as what might be coming in the future. So that project is coming along. And finally, the housing needs assessment, which where we expect to hear from the consultants at our next committee meeting, I hope, also might get pushed towards June. So, but there's been a lot of really good information, an in-depth inventory of rentals in the community, as well as the for sale market. They're having a little bit of difficulty developing this model that would enable us to project, you know, if Cornell adds 500 students, what would that do? You know, what would the ripple effects be? And that's kind of the model that we're looking to get out of this proposal, out of this consultant's work. And that's a little complicated. So I think that's what's taking a little more time. Then we had a good discussion with Alice Eccleston from TCAT. We hadn't heard from TCAT in a while, and we wanted to hear more about the difficulty in bringing drivers in and, you know, having the driver fleet fully staffed up. And, you know, it's really complicated, and unfortunately, I think Dan has reported on this, that the issues with New York State, the road test, not sure that they'll even continue offering the road test here, which is going to make it even more difficult to get people licensed. So they're working hard on that. And, you know, as we heard earlier with Joe's passing, I mean, he wasn't actively involved, but I'm sure that's going to set everybody back on their heels a little bit with good reason. So it was good, though, to have Alice come directly to the committee, and we'll look forward to doing that again in the future. So those are the main highlights.
Questions? Julie.
I read recently in the local newspaper that Common Council is very concerned about what should happen to that one-bedroom house right next to Ithaca Falls. And I was really surprised to read that, not surprised that they recognize there's a housing shortage, but that a lot of the members of council think that that house should be kept as a house on that tiny lot. It is not a well-built house. It has one bedroom. It was probably built by an individual who wanted to live there. And I wondered if that house has come up in any discussion that you've had, Martha.
Well, it came up last year. I'm trying to remember.
Well, we were willing to take the property off the tax rolls.
Right.
It didn't occur to me that that would be kept as a one-bedroom house to help fill our housing needs.
This is 410 Lake?
Yeah, I didn't read the article today.
I just wondered if...
Yeah, we haven't. The committee hasn't talked about it this year. We haven't talked about it since we had the discussion about the coming off the tax rolls.
Fine.
You know, I think it's probably not. It's not going to solve the housing shortage. Sadly, if that's all it would take, then we wouldn't have a problem. So I think the alternative uses were probably better for that site. But the committee hasn't talked about it this year.
Carol?
I can't get out of my head that since that discussion with Alice Eccleston, that it would be so great to open a bus driving school here. You know, ever since that massage school opened here, we've got a glut of massage therapists here. You can get a massage, any kind, stripe. We've got great hills to practice on. This is not tongue-in-cheek. It would have to be an effort put together by, I don't know, if TC3 could get involved or if we could in any way. But this is obviously, there's a shortage, not just in TCAT, but in other regional bus companies. And it's one of the reasons we're having problems, we heard. And so obviously it's an area ripe for additional training.
If I can answer, the IURA did run a CDL program for a while, and then that funding has run out. It costs money. And I think a lot of the drivers correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, I think kind of they may have started at TCAT or they were, you know, that was the hope, but a lot of them went to school districts. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I can also say you don't actually need a commercial driver's license to get hired by TCAT. You have to be a good prospect, and they will train you. So, in fact, we do have a bus driver school here, TCAT. Okay.
And then I have a question about whether other people, whether I was the only one because I'm an energy troublemaker, or whether other people got an announcement in their boxes here or by email from the Department of Public Service. So we got it. We received it on April 29th about the clean energy standard.
Yeah, we sent that out to everybody.
Great. So this is something that when New York State announced the its REV, Reforming the Energy Vision, they had announced from the beginning that they were going to be coming to local level governments to ask for input. And as the process continued, and as it became more and more difficult for anybody who wasn't full-time in the energy field to participate, it was people, many of whom from our towns in Tompkins County, some of our elected officials who pushed even recently, you know, when are you going to embark in that part of the process, asking for input? So I just wondered if it was something they haven't given us. Of course, they don't understand our time frame. While they've been embarking in the REV process for several years, they've given us 2 months. So the responses are due by June 6th. They do say they won't make any decision, you know, though they'll accept comments until they make it some decisions. But it would just seem to me that Tompkins County may have things we could add to the discussion, especially coming out of our energy roadmap or some of the other things that we've done. And I wonder if it would be appropriate for our PDEC meeting, or for, you know, for you to be asking Ed or Katie Borgella if they wanted, you know, if they thought this was something that it would be worth them putting together something or asking us to weigh in a certain way.
I think they are pretty overwhelmed. I'm sure they're aware of it.
Well, it seemed to us, I don't know if it would have, you know, it's a particular case number of which there are thousands in the DPS, so they wouldn't necessarily have gotten this.
I can look at it.
So anyway, I can forward it to them. We might want to spend a few minutes, if we have time, on our agenda either. Well, I guess there's only one between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Jim Dennis.
Or I may get, so, you know, if we don't do it as a committee, maybe I'll try to get together something to bring to us.
Jim Dennis.
Thank you. Martha, it came to my attention on the way into the meeting, and maybe you heard from Heather, that the town of Dryden declared that they did not need a seeker on the project. So it will be back at the agency, and we'll be back here 2 weeks from now voting on that.
Yeah, now I'm talking about the William George Agency, and she was actually a little I said, that seems funny. That she said that they didn't need a site plan review. I said, that seems funny because it's building a new building. So she was going to go back and check.
And she did, and found out that there are many, in back in history, they were all treated as ministerial and those kinds of things. So seekers were not part of all the things that she looked back on.
Dave McKenna.
Just wanted to back up one subject and let Martha know that ICSD also does training.
So if anybody's interested in learning how to drive a bus, it's a great job. They could go to the TCAT or the Ithaca School District.
Okay. Is that all, Martha? Thank you. We'll take 10 minutes.
Julie,
was there a question?
Well, yes, it was building on what Carol was asking you about. The closest presentation and public statement location for us would be Binghamton, and that's the very first one in the list, and it's a week from today. So the committee is not going to have a chance to attend that. We can submit something in writing, but if anybody wants to get organized and go to that, that is a good thing to do.
I was thinking of something more organized and substantive, talking about...
Well, members of the committee can talk about that
as a county.
On the side. Let's take 10 minutes and come back and then wrap up on the rest of our committees. All right, let's go back to the agenda. The Charter Review Committee, Julie Kiefer is the chair.
Well, we continue to meet. Our next meeting is Tuesday, May 24th at 3 p.m. I keep thinking we're getting near the end, but we seem not to have made it quite there yet. At our last meeting, we had some discussion about considering whether or not we should have an appointed professional sheriff instead of an elective one. So that conversation will continue. But I don't know what the agenda will be at our next meeting because we are waiting for input from specific folks. Thanks, Mike.
Most of this is we're revisiting things that we talked about in the past year.
Yes.
Any questions for Dooley? Thank you, Dooley. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis is the chair.
Thank you, Michael. Let me just go right to the resolutions. It is Resolution L. It is the establishment of the 2017 County Financial Goal, and I would move that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Martha Robertson.
Let me say a few words about it. The county legislature met in annual budget retreat at TCAT recently. The county administrator was the major focus of the meeting, and the way things work in Tompkins, we asked the county administrator to give us the story on what our budget, our 2016 budget looks like, what the future looks like from the best possible metrics that he has, and then we decide amongst ourselves what we think. He has a recommended financial goal, a levy increase, and we decide among ourselves what we will recommend. This is what we will recommend now. It is a 3% levy increase to establish the 2017 budget. It's a half a point over the cap. It talks about many things that we were able to do. We have pluses coming out of the 16 budget. But we also have a very significant minus, and it's a minus in the sales tax numbers that we've had four out of the five last quarters with a down number. And that's significant to us moving forward into 2017. We, in the past, prior to five reports ago, we had outstanding numbers, and our numbers are some of the lowest in New York State right now. So the county administrator recommended the three. We had a long and involved discussion, and we're here. I'm here. The committee is here with this number, and we would like to give the county administrator the ability to build a 3% annual 3% levy increase in the budget.
Further discussion. You ready to vote? All right. All those in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Those opposed? One, two, three, four. That can't be right. Wait a minute. I got something I counted wrong.
You got me twice.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Which way were you voting, Mike?
Okay.
Okay. So that's... It's nine. He's voting again, so it's 9-3. 9-4, sorry. The vote is 9-4. The resolution passes.
Thank you for that. The second part of preparing for the 2017 budget is to establish the guidelines and fiscal targets for all county budgeting units for the preparation of the 2017 budget. That is Resolution M. I would move that.
Is there a second? Dan Klein. Discussion? Martha?
Well, recently I've heard a couple of people, well, one running for office and one of them not, arguing, advocating for a full state takeover of Medicaid, and it was that would obviously help with county finances and property taxes. And one was Chris Gibson, who's the soon-to-retire Republican congressional member of Congress in the 19th district, the Hudson Valley, and the other is John Fazio, the one who one of the Republicans running. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, well, he's running for Congress.
What, running for that seat, I think, right?
Yes, for Gibson, and Gibson was going to run for governor. So.
But then Gibson said he's not. Yeah. So that I guess John Fazio was, if I have the name right, is also arguing similarly that the state should be paying for Medicaid and not the counties. So that's
It's all thanks to you. They said.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, they said that Martha Robertson.
Cool. All right. Great. Nice. I'll go like him on Facebook then. I think that's really key. And to the extent that a federal action might be a way to get that to happen, I hadn't exactly thought about that, but that's an interesting strategy. And glad to hear that it's being talked about at any rate. Not that it will get anything done in time for this, but it's really important.
Other questions on this one? Carol.
So I support this, and I supported the overall number. As I understand it, our process calls for setting the county financial goal, and we did that after consideration of a lot of numbers and a lot of projections. And that the number that we set will enable us to basically tread water, you know, keep doing what we've been doing, continue to support our agencies at less of a bump than our own departments will get, as we've done for many years now, but leaves very little left over to address many of the things that we've also talked about doing. We've come up with plans. We have an energy plan. We've talked about affordable housing. We talked about TCAD and public transportation and the needs there. We hear from people about, you know, what more can you stimulate in terms of ideas about how we can age in place or where we can go if we're not aging in place. I mean, you list your cause, the heroin epidemic. So it just doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room to do anything on a lot of the things that we want to be able to do. But it does leave a little bit. And so I was trying to understand exactly what this resolution would do. And basically this directs Joe to take what we did in the budget retreat, to take the number we just set, and go and work with the departments on their budgets to bring to us in the fall. But it enables him to bring to us some things that are over target requests or that he builds in to the numbers he brings to us. And so what I started to think about at the retreat, it broached the topic a little bit, but started to think about a little bit further with this resolution, is how can we make sure that we, between now and the fall, we have good conversations about what that little tiny bit, maybe it's $100,000, $200,000, whatever that number ends up being, after Joe sees all of the and the other budget folks see all, how all the numbers shape up by the time it's actually coming to us, how are we going to make decisions about what else we can accomplish of that long wish list. And so I am just hoping that between now and I was exploring with Joe today, you know, is this resolution the right place to do that? And no, this resolution doesn't entirely, this resolution enables him to go back to our departments and, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, and to enable them to come to us as they did before with us with their similar budgets and with over target requests, but it also enables him to build in a few things that haven't been on the list before. And so I am looking for a way for us to have conversations between now and the fall, sort of not leaving it till the last minute, with any wiggle room that we've got. Which of the many things we've talked about doing will we be able to do, or should we decide to do, or how do we decide to do them? Joe threw out ideas during the budget retreat, and they're all great ideas as well. They weren't things that were already on the list of things that had been out here already. So I would just ask, I don't know if the budget committee is the right place to do it, or just as our committees meet, to think about the process in advance of the fall, in advance of it being those last few weeks where we come with our budget motions, so that it's a last-minute argument, should we do this versus that. The right time to start doing that is between now and then, so that all of the departments on all of our committees have the equal opportunity to come to the administrator and say, put mine in the administrator approved a portion of the budget, because the ones that are there are the ones that it's easier for us to approve. So, and I would just appeal to Joe to find ways to make sure that we have an opportunity to weigh in
for that section.
And I didn't hear a good way to do that, to sort of build into this resolution, although we could if we wanted to say anything above, say, 2.5% should come to us as over target requests, not already, that's more open, neutral from the county administrator, and that would give us a greater way to weigh in the fall.
Anna Kellis.
One way to do it.
I first just wanted to thank Joe and your staff for putting this together. I can tell a tremendous amount of work that you've put in. I know there's, you know, it's very conservative in the estimations of the growth expected in sales tax. And I also wanted to note it is conservative also in trying to adjust for the fact that the sales tax has been decreasing, but allows for us to not cut people from our staff, which I personally feel is very important, and allow for them to have, you know, standard of living adjustments. So thank you for allowing for that. I do want to acknowledge, too, that for me personally, there is that challenge of, you know, from hearing from people, my taxes are killing me. You know, I can't stand to live in Fall Creek anymore, which is what I represent, which is, you know, one of the highest tax places. I can only hope, and something I've been thinking a lot about, and the reason I'm supporting this one is particularly because it allows us to protect our staff and protect the really fundamentally important and very few things that you've added as recommended OTR so far that we do need, and is a about $34 increase, which is not a large increase. And I think for me, I would just like to acknowledge to the public that of the three components that are part of total taxes, county is actually the smallest proportion. So, you know, we're wiggling in a very small percentage. I personally would also love to see discussions happening between the county and the school board and the city about how we can collaborate more, so that we're at least aware of and we can communicate and do outreach to our communities of where the total amounts are coming from, and how we can collaborate more, because I know that they're feeling it. So I'm just acknowledging that I think that this is really important and it's very modest. And I'm feeling this pain, and I'm hoping these larger conversations can happen so that we can collaborate.
Martha?
I've got the calendar for the planning committee that, it, you know, I kind of throw it into a spreadsheet, topics for future meetings. So I just put 2017 budget initiatives ? And for June. So and that's a reminder for me to kind of go to our department heads to say, okay, you know, no promises at all, but if you could do a little something, what would it be? So I just want to, we went so quickly through L, and I was like, you know, I think we went, I know. We were just like, oh, okay, we'll vote. But this is an opportunity. So, Joe, even though sales tax is down and is pretty scary, we've got not necessarily fully counterbalancing, but a good news story about the increase in the tax base. I mean, there's assessment increases that are part of your baseline projections, but also increase in either value of, describe that for us, because I think that's, when people complain about construction, and some of us who traveled around upstate New York a little bit say, be glad. Can you connect the dots there for us a little bit?
And I just heard from Jay last week about the first cut on the 2017 assessment base. And it's up 5%, and that is robust. You don't see 5% very often in a large, mature tax base like ours. So in terms of growth of the base, it's there. It's very strong. There are two parts of the growth that occur. One is, I can't find a better word than inflationary growth, but it's really the increase in the value of homes. It's the market value of homes. And Anna talked about Fall Creek, good example. So a house in Fall Creek has probably seen assessment increases over the last few years because the selling price of those homes has gone up remarkably. So call that the inflationary part of the increase in the tax base. And I don't have the breakdown on how much of that 5% is attributable to that kind of growth, but certainly a part of it is. But the other part is we call it here new lumber, and that's new development, taxable development. And that seems to be a very healthy part of that overall growth rate. It's taken a while to see some of the effect of some of these projects in the tax base. The large housing project up on State, for example, didn't really hit the rolls until relatively recently. So we are beginning to see the effect of all this development on our tax base. And to the extent that that happens, it's not anything that would cause you to change your investment decisions or anything, but as that happens, as there's growth in the tax base, that's really how we divvy up the pie. That's how we divvy up the property tax pie. And to the extent that there's new development, that means that your share of the pie diminishes because somebody else has taken over a part of it that didn't exist before. So that's the kind of growth that we want to see. So that's happening. It also has an effect on our tax cap. Tax cap is a more complex formula than it should be. One of the factors in there, though, is that we get credit for that real growth in our tax base. So to the extent that there is real growth, new lumber in the tax base change, then that lifts our tax cap up a bit. We may see some of that. In fact, we should see some of that in the coming year. So that's what's happening with base. And, again, it starts with that estimate, at least before the major challenges, of an increase of 5% for next year.
And that, but, of course, the part of it that's related to existing properties assessments going up is that shortage we have, so that everybody's fighting more and competing more and paying more for existing units, housing units. And so, of course, then that leads to the new lumber. But so there's a lot of pain in the disconnect, you know, where you don't have, you have the need before you have the response. I think it's good for people to know there's a real concrete benefit when we see more construction happening.
Absolutely.
Back to Anna for a short one.
Yeah, sure. Just for accuracy purposes, a proportion of that quote-unquote new lumber category is also actually due to developments going maturing out of pilot, correct?
A part of it is. It's a relatively small part, but that is happening. So actually our pilot revenue is going to go down a bit next year. It's because some of those pilots are hitting the end of their schedule, and they're coming over onto the property tax base, which is good.
Which would also significantly contribute to that. So it's just something for us to consider as we're moving forward to, you know, where we're giving that.
Julie, was your hand up?
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to vote on this resolution? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? I have three opposed. That passes. You done, Martha?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Jim's committee. I'm sorry. You done?
Well, it's been said on occasion, but our next meeting is May 23rd, right here, and I'm hoping the budget committee was at a meeting when Steve Estes came here and we talked about evaluation of the four directs, and people were supposed to kind of go on the personnel website and take a look at those instruments that we're proposing being used. And I've been hearing not too many people have hit the website, if you know what I mean, and taken a look at the instruments that Steve had put forward. So I will talk to him tomorrow. He will send it out again, and I would like people to take a look at the systems that we were talking about.
Jim, is that to your committee? Is that to everyone that those went out to?
I think, well, the committee, but then I believe it went out to the whole legislature.
Yeah. Okay.
If not, you know, that will happen.
All right, let's go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean-Claiborne is the chair.
The chair, WDIC met last week. There were no real actionable items, but we did have some good discussion. Some of the things Joe mentioned already, updates from our steering committee working group, things that are moving forward. We got a lovely update from Joe on how the Cup of Joe with Joe had been going. You know, if he was hearing anything new from employees, any sort of themes that are emerging, and we'll continue to explore that. Those were the main things. We are continuing to work on diversity and inclusion language for our advisory board applications, taking into consideration that we don't want the application to be too cumbersome, so it might just be a one-liner. So we're working on that. And the committee will not meet this month, this May. We have another scheduled activity that will take the place. So we will not be meeting in May. That's my report. Oh, I have one thing I neglected to announce during public speak. I just wanted to mention, speaking of diversity and inclusion, there's an event that our very own Paula Younger, who sort of oversees much of our diversity and inclusion work here in the county, is involved with the Dorothy Cotton Jubilee Singers, and they're having a spring concert at the First Presbyterian Church Sunday, May 8th for Mother's Day in honor of all mothers. And in big red letters, admission is free. If you've never heard the Dorothy Cotton Jubilee Singers, it is quite a treat. So you're all invited, and all of you who are still watching us in TV land, you are invited to come down as well.
Can I ask, Liz?
Yes.
When are those real men cooking?
Real men are not cooking. Real women are, but no, the real men cooking event has been postponed from this Saturday. There's a new date to be announced soon.
Any other questions for Leslie? Thank you, Leslie.
You're very welcome.
The old library committee has not met. Probably during my report, I should have mentioned and thanked Dan Klein and Rich John and Peter Stein, and I went over to a luncheon with some of the Cortland County legislators. I think, oh, I'm sorry, Glenn Morey was, of course, there. And we had an interesting, we try to do that about twice a year. The next time it'll be over this way. But we talked about a number of issues with Cortland, including the TC3 issue, including the STAR exemption issue, including various things that that we have in common that we work on. We learned about their jail effort over there, which, by the way, after that meeting, they voted down the proposal for the jail that they were going to build. I don't know what they're going to do next, but it's kind of interesting to watch them. And they also told us, Will, to your point, that they were that in their committee they voted down the raise for the district attorney that we just passed tonight. And we asked them that question, you know, how are you going to think you're going to get away with that one with the state? And they weren't really sure, but they were thinking about what they might be able to do. So it's a good opportunity to work with what I've always considered our most similar county that seems to be growing our direction, and we seem to be growing their direction, and I think that's important. So we'll probably have another meeting in the fall on that. I wanted to say that to you. Oh, and also one more thing, excuse me, Arthur, but hope folks can come out to the TC3 graduation. Every year we get a very nice invitation to go to that. If you don't want to be on the platform, you can certainly just come and be in the audience. It's always inspiring to see the diversity of the group, the joy of the group that's graduating, and it doesn't take an awful long time. It's a couple of hours, and it's a worthy time. And if you haven't participated in one, I know some of you have done it more than once, please think about taking advantage of that.
Can you say the date and time?
It is the 18th, I believe.
Yeah.
Let me just double check. No, it's the 26th. And if you want to go to that, please contact Kathy Northrup in the president's office at TC3. You should have had an email invitation that came to you. I think I had Jim first, then Mike.
Friday is the TC3 luncheon budget meeting.
Yes.
At 12 o'clock? Roughly.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. How many people are planning to attend that? That's kind of important. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm in class, unfortunately.
Six. We're going to have 6 or 8 there, so that's good.
I'm at Cornell until slightly after 12. How long is the event? Because I could always go afterwards.
I think you could get there and hear most of the presentation.
I'm there by 12:30.
I think so. Plus, you'd be there for the discussion with Cortland. Martha.
That's what I was going to say.
Minutes, April 19th.
I'll move them.
I'll second them.
By Jim, seconded by Anna. Discussion? Dooley?
Well, there are a number of just ministerial mistakes, I think. I'm going to turn it in for Kathy's use if she wants to make use of it. And I can't vote for these. It's so skeletal, so I will be voting no.
All right. Ready to vote? All those in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have one opposed. Any unfinished business? Is there a motion to adjourn? Anna, seconded by Martha. All in favor? We're adjourned. Thank you to everyone who helps make this meeting happen.